Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
I have in my pocket a seed. Now, it's not a tiny seed, it's a small seed. Like, you can't really see it from up there, but down there. But I was going to bring a coconut seed, but now they sell them covered in all that other stuff. It's not really the seed, it's like the whole fruit. But anyway, it would have been a larger illustration. But this is a popcorn seed, a small popcorn seed. And within this popcorn seed is the potential to produce a corn plant. Within this seed is everything it needs to become a tall, flourishing stalk of popcorn. And as this piece of popcorn does that, goes into the ground and grows into popcorn, into corn. No, it doesn't grow as popcorn. We have to put it in the microwave. It's corn, Helen. Oh, my. Oh, I grew popcorn. No, Helen, you didn't grow popcorn. You grew corn. Anyway, so corn, all right? Okay, the biologists in the room, you're all calm now, okay? Okay, so biologic, this is corn. And so I'm going to grow corn from this, but then this seed actually has the potential to then, once it's planted and it grows and it grows a head of corn, that those seeds become corn to produce more heads of, more stalks, more. So within this, one seed is the potential for a harvest, a crop of corn. Within this one small seed. And you know what? A seed is actually a promise. A seed is a promise of purpose and potential. What you see here is, you don't see corn, but you're sure there's corn. You know, you can see it with your eyes. You can see a field of corn when I tell you that that's what this is. You're not like, no way, how's that possible? You're looking at it going, yeah, that makes sense to me, because we know that a seed is a promise of potential and purpose. And every single one of us are a seed. Every single one of us are a seed full of promise and full of potential. And that's what I want to talk to us about today. I want to talk to us about a seed, us being a seed, and the seed that God has put in our lives that has purpose and potential. So come on, turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus tells us this story about seed. Tell the person beside you, you wouldn't mind a bit of buttered popcorn right now, actually. It would be great. All right, let's read together. Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 3. It says, "Then Jesus told them many things in parables, saying, a father went to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell," wherever it landed, I'm sorry. "Some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not make much soil, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plant. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown." This is a story about seeds. This is actually a seed story. It's not a soil story, it's a seed story. Because every single one of those seeds, every one of them had potential. Every single one of them had a promise. Every single one of them had the ability to produce a strong crop. Every single one of them had within them everything they needed to reproduce themselves, to grow again, to come again, to flourish and to prosper. Every single one of them had that potential. But stuff happens that limits that potential. And the disciples come to Jesus and they go, what do you mean? We don't get what you're talking about when you talk about these seeds. So he then explains to them what he was talking about. In verse 18, he says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone, any seed, every seed, every single seed, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed that was sown on the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. But when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. The seeds are people, and every single one of us is designed with purpose and potential. Jeremiah 29 says to us, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for you to prosper, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. You know, this is God's plan for every single human, everything, every single seed on the earth, is that we would flourish and prosper, that we would find ourselves living out our potential and actually living within our purpose. You know, we run Growth Track, and today they're doing Growth Track 3 and 4 right here in the second service. But you know what? Growth Track number 2, step 2, is designed to help you find your purpose. It's actually designed to help you unpack what's within you, what's your potential, what's your special skills, who are you on the inside that somebody else might not be, and how can you live in that you can bear a harvest? What are your gifts? What are your talents? You've got stuff inside you that's different to me. The thing is, we're all seeds, but we're all different seeds. We're not all designed to produce the same fruit. We're not all designed to produce exactly the same skills and talents. We look at life differently. We see things differently. And God wants to use all of us to our full potential so his kingdom can work. How are you wired? How do you think? You don't think the same way as the person beside you. I often find myself going, didn't you see that? Didn't you notice that? And she will go, no, that's you. That's what's inside of you. Our resource, our finance, what's in our hands, that's the seed that we have that we can use. We're never too old. Don't ever think that I'm an old seed, an old seed's no good. No, there is always, while you're breathing and living, there is always more purpose, more potential inside you. There's always room for the next. There's always, always, always. To my mature friends who aren't sitting in the front row, there is always, always that seed within us that God wants to do the next thing with. What's in your hands? What's in your heart that we can't see on the other, on the outside? Every one of us is seed. But Jesus warns in this story. He says, be careful though, because there is an enemy of your seed. There is an enemy of your purpose, the potential that's within you. The enemy does not want you to walk in that. The enemy's going to do everything he can to shortchange you so you live less than your purpose, you live less than your potential. And he gives us 5 really clear things, which I think we can all relate to. 5 things that actually damage or attack the seed that God has put within us. Our lack of understanding. We just don't get it. We just can't imagine. We just can't comprehend that God would be for us, not against us, that he would want us to go forwards, not backwards, that he would actually be cheering us on, that he would have good things in store for us. Our mind just can't imagine it. Difficulty, sickness, trouble, disability, all those things can cause us to think, how could I possibly let this seed that's within me go forward? It's limited. I'm not well enough. I'm not strong enough. I don't have the mental capacity, whatever it might be. It tells us that these things come against us. Persecution. People saying mean things. People saying horrible things. People being mean to us. People mocking our faith our family, our social circle, not believing in us. You know what? This isn't just a faith statement. This is, what capacity do you have? And someone else laughing at that or mocking that. And you think, oh, maybe I can't sing. Maybe I'm not as talented as I thought. Maybe that entrepreneurial idea I've got, that business idea to start some new florist business that's a bit creative because it actually cares for students who, I don't know, some amazing little thing, and everyone's like, oh, that's a stupid idea. No, that's persecution, and God's saying, come on, I believe in you. There's seed in you. There's potential. Worries of life, Jesus says. The worry of life, just... you know, one is our ability to think, and this one is our fear of the future. What if? What if I do that and it doesn't work? What if I step into that relationship and I open up my heart and tell somebody that I actually really feel like there's a connection here? What if I do that and it's shut down? It's the worries, the worry, the fear, the anxiety of life. What if my kids get sick? What if it goes wrong? What if I have an accident? We live with this fear, and it pushes down the potential and the purpose that God has for us, because he's called us to live in faith. The last one Jesus gives us is trickery and deception of wealth. You know, often we think about wealth on its own or money, but he talks about the trickery of money. Don't get tricked by money. Don't get tricked into thinking that we live in a financial economy that's the world's economy. We live in a financial economy that's God's economy. And don't get tricked into worldly thinking about our money. Don't get tricked into thinking that if you have a better car, a better job, and you're sort of keeping up with the Joneses, that there'll be joy in your soul, because there won't be. Don't get tricked. Don't get tricked and live in fear with your money. Don't get tricked by the expectations of our culture. And you're not going forward if you haven't got this or you haven't got that. It's trickery. And the enemy uses all these different techniques to destroy our seed, to limit our potential, and to distract us from our purpose. So this story that Jesus tells us is about seeds. He tells us about all the distractions that are there. And then he tells us about the seed that is able to bear fruit. The seed that actually does step out in its purpose, that actually fulfills its potential. And that seed functions because it's in good soil. It's in good dirt. And so what's this great dirt that we're talking about here? What's this dirt that Jesus refers to? He says it's the message of the kingdom. It's a kingdom message. It's not just a salvation message. It's not just a relationship with Jesus message. It's actually a kingdom message. What he's saying is, if you will plant yourself in my kingdom, be part of my kingdom, then you are going to see your full potential. That's true. The kingdom is about the authority and the power that is given to the one who rules the kingdom. And Jesus is saying, if you plant yourself where I can be your king and look after you, you're going to get all the blessings of the kingdom. You're going to get all the good things the kingdom has to offer. We've recently planted a garden, a beautiful garden, and we also had a section that we'd got this gardening guy. I don't think he was a gardener, to be honest with you, because a gardening guy to put new soil in. And that soil, all it did was bear weeds, like nasty weeds, horrible weeds, because he didn't really give us the good blessings. But God's saying, if you let me be your gardener, if you get in my soil is good soil. My soil's full of all the nutrients you need, all the vitamins you need, all the water storing ability that you need, everything you need for a good life, a big life, a full life, is in my kingdom. And you know what, maybe you've never even heard about the kingdom of God. You're like, I don't even know what this girl's talking about. I'm telling you that a relationship with Jesus gives you access to God's kingdom and all the good things that come with that. And that is God's desire for every seed. Every seed. Sorry, guys. You know what, if you're part of a kingdom, did you know that... I'll keep that secret up my sleeve. Did you know, if you're part of a kingdom, you're a citizen. You're a citizen of that kingdom. So you've got a passport. Your passport gives you access to a certain country, a certain, all the things that citizens of that country can have. Did you know you can't have a passport unless you're a citizen? So if you're a citizen, you have the right of access to all the privileges that that country has to offer. And you have the access to its currency. You know, if you're a German citizen, you're pretty happy because I've got to tell you that euro, it goes a long way around the world. It goes a long way when you're traveling the earth. When you're a citizen of a country, you get to enjoy the function of its tax system and its health benefits, all the things that come with being a citizen in a certain place. Now, the question is, what is the world's best country to live in? I think this is actually quite politically correct for us today because I don't believe we have a single one of these people in our congregation, but I may be wrong. If I'm wrong, please correct me. But Business Insider study tells us that the world's best country to live in. Anyone got some suggestions? Want to get all that, some thoughts on this? Norway. Norway has for the last 13 years been the world's best country to live in. How about that? Why? Because it has the highest standard of living, the highest life expectancy, and the best education. It's also, because of its amazing public healthcare system, the average life expectancy is 82 years old. So, okay, guys, let's go. Okay? Let's get out of here. Let's go to Norway. But the thing is, they won't let us stay, and we won't have access to any of those benefits because we're not Norwegian. It's only if you're a citizen that you get the access, that you get the advantages, and that you get the authority that being Norwegian gives you. It's only if you are actually a citizen in that country. So all these good things come to you because of citizenship. And it's the same thing with God. All these good things come to us because we're citizens in His kingdom. Jesus' blood gives us access to everything God has for us. We get the advantage of His name. The name of Jesus. You know when you want to throw around a name, like, hey, I know my kids over the years of, I'm Pastor Richard's daughter. I'm Pastor Richard's son. Because the name, the advantage of it that a name gives you, it gets you the walk-in. My mum was a school teacher and I remember going to visit her high school and they'd be like, why are you here? I'm Mrs. Knight's daughter. And bang, I could just do what I wanted. So a name, but you know, we are the sons of God. We have the name of Jesus as our name. We have this advantage, this authority that comes because we belong to Him. And He is the ruler of the earth. So, mate, I'm with Jesus. Any problem going on? I'm with Jesus. We have authority. We have the power that Jesus had living within us. That's authority. It says that in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, that there is nothing that can stand His name, no demonic force, no sickness, no illness, whatever's going on. We have the advantage. We have the authority in Jesus. So let's plant ourselves in His dirt. Let's allow the seed that God has put in us to get to its absolutely full potential. And then we can experience all the benefits that are available to us. I don't know if you've got a health fund. In Australia these days, it's probably recommended that you have private health as we go on our journey. But you know what? We had this private health and all we were using was the dentist. Like, that was it. We're paying all this money and all we get is the dentist. And Richard's like, there's other benefits. Let's use the other benefits. What can we have? So he's been looking and he's like, I'm going to go to the chiro. Yeah, I'm going to find a massage therapist. So he finds this remedial massage lady. Oh, my gosh. Oh. She's amazing. And so we go, we book it in, we've worked out we can have four of those every year for like $20 because our healthcare pays the gap. Anyone got healthcare they haven't done this? You should do this. There's a helpful tip right there. Maybe that's why you came today, just for me to help you with that. But these are the benefits of being in my health fund. And you know what? In the kingdom of God, we have benefits. But so many of us aren't living in the benefits that God has for us. We're living limited. We're letting the deceitfulness of the world, we're letting our own minds, our anxieties, our fears, our doubts, our troubles, we're letting all these things hold us back from what God has really designed for us. The Word of God tells us about the financial freedom, the great marriage we can have, the relationships. God wants to see us flourish. The kingdom of God is more than salvation. This story is more than salvation. It's more than just, do I receive Jesus? It's you get the whole package. You've entered in. You belong. You can carry the passport. You belong here. And the result of it is fruitfulness. Jesus describes this. He keeps going on in this same chapter, further on in chapter 13, and he describes this kingdom, this thing called the kingdom. And he says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold everything he had and he bought that field. It says again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and he sold everything he had and he bought it. Jesus is saying to them, this thing called the kingdom, this thing that you have full access to is so valuable. One man tripped over it. He found it by accident. Some of you might be here by accident. So you just, I don't know, I don't even know why I turned up in a God space. But yeah, I just tripped over life in Jesus and my life's never been the same. Some of you were hunting. Some of you had questions. I want to know the meaning to life. I want to know why we're here. How did we get here? I want to know if there's a God, why is there pain in the earth? Some of us have questions. Your question asked, some of you are like, bring it on. I'm in the kingdom. I'm happy here. And this story is telling us that these two different people, one found the kingdom of God by accident. One found it because he hunted, but both of them then invested in it. Both of them thought it was worthy of counting a cost for, of actually making it a focus of their life, of actually like, man, I want to look after this thing. I want to make sure this doesn't get robbed away. I'm going to make sure this grows. And so God gives us this picture of the value of the kingdom that we're a part of. So don't ever feel silly for investing in the kingdom. That's right. Don't ever, ever wonder, is it a good investment to invest in an eternal kingdom that carries hope and life and allows people to step into their purpose, allows people to find their full potential, allows people's giftings to expand, allows people to learn, to grow, all the things that God has for them, for good relationships, for marriages to be restored, for young people, you know, young people that are suicidal to decide, no, I have a purpose. I've got a life. There's seed in me. I think that's an investment that I will never feel embarrassed of sowing into. Paul tells us this. He says to the Ephesians, he's like, oh my gosh, you guys, let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. He says, oh, I'm praying for you that you would open your eyes, be enlightened so that you may know the hope that he has for you and the riches of the glorious inheritance, that you would get what you get in the kingdom, that you would realize the whole package, that you would open the little criteria brochure that says, here are the benefits. Paul's saying, I wish you'd get that. And his, Jesus's incomparably great power for us who believe. He says, this is one of the benefits of the kingdom, is you know how Jesus died and he rose again from death, he conquered death. Anyone in the room conquered death? No, we're all here. If we die, we die, you know. But Jesus, he died and he rose again. Sin could not hold him down. The chains of hell could not hold him down. Nothing could hold, because Jesus was above. Jesus had all authority. Jesus was perfect and holy. So he rose from hell, from death, and he rose to life. Come on. He rose to life, our Jesus. He's conquered, and Paul's saying, by the way, that's the seed that's inside you.
Amen.
That's the seed that's in you, the power to live.
Great.
like God designed us to live. The power to forgive, the power to hope, the power to be able to be kind to one another, the power to be able to control our tongue, the power to be able to be gracious, the power to be generous, the power to live beyond ourselves, the power to see the sick healed, the power to speak words of life into us. This is the power that lives within us. This is the access that we have in the kingdom. And this is what Paul is saying. He's saying, I want you to get this. I want you to realize you've got all this amazing stuff. But beware of the persecution. And a lot of you probably in this room have got a credit card. If you've got the super credit card, you know, the premium point earning credit card, I bet you it's got some other benefits. I bet you it has maybe even a free night once a year at a nice fancy hotel. Maybe it's got some points so you can go on holidays. Maybe it's got bookings for other things, got insurance, all these benefits. But how many of us actually use all the benefits that come with our credit card? Let's not be like that in the kingdom of God. Let's make sure we're living in the fruitfulness of what God has for us, accessing all those benefits, because we are citizens of heaven with full access. Is that good? Because a seed is a promise of potential and purpose. You're a seed. Every one of us is a seed of potential and purpose. And everything we have in our hand and everything we have in our heart is a seed of potential and purpose. Every dollar you have in your bank account, this $20 gives me the access to, won't buy me breakfast. Not really, not in Australia anymore. It'll buy me breakfast in Poland, but it won't buy me breakfast in Australia. $20. $20 will buy me a coffee. I'll get a coffee. I'll get a small breakfast, you know, but it's a seed for potential. Yeah. It's a seed for potential. So what am I going to do with it? We get to choose. What am I going to do with it? So when God puts this in my hand, as I have the privilege of having a job that pays me, I get to choose. God, obviously, the first part is yours, the first 10%, that's yours, God, that's what we believe, that's another conversation. But then what? Yeah. I get to do whatever I want with the rest. Yeah. Yeah. But God says, do you believe it's seed of potential? Yeah. Do you believe your $20 could be one corn seed that could be planted to grow a whole corn plant that has a head on it, that when it falls, it could produce multiple corns, that when it goes to seed and it's plant. The question is, Helen, do you believe that? Do you believe that what I've put in your hand is seed? Because Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians that our money is like seed. He said we should excel in everything. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, he says, we should excel, get good, expand, grow, be fruitful in everything, in our speech, in our faith, in our knowledge. But we should also be excelling in the grace of giving. Grace of giving, our kindness, giving all sorts of things, but giving financially. So let's talk about money. It's a miracle offering. Let's talk about money for just a moment. You know, Richard and I have a seed, and this year as we've sown, I'm personally believing that at some point in the future, I can give $100,000 in the miracle offering. Now, I can't do that today. That's a ridiculous idea for me to be able to do that today. But I'm sowing a seed, believing that God is going to make a way. And God said to me as I prepared to give, God said to me, Helen, you're talking about this, but where's your faith? I can't ask you to stretch, to believe God for some seed, to say, God, if I have, let's have a look. Oh, that's why they won't help you. If I've got one seed, let's pretend one seed produces 10 seeds. Okay, so then 10 seeds. And then I plant my 10 seeds, and if one produces 10, and I've got 10 now, 10 times 10 equals 100. So, wow, I got 100. So, Helen, why wouldn't you plant the 10? Is that the stretch, Helen? Kevin said to me, what's the stretch, Helen? Because it's going to multiply. And if that's your target to give 100, you better start to work towards the stretch. So if 10's good, come on, Helen. Come on. Come on, what? What causes you to need me? What's going to cause some faith to be required? Because you know what? For this seed to grow, this seed that's within us, it needs to be planted. It disappears. It's gone. It's in the dark. You're like, God, what are you doing? Planted some parsley recently. I was watching that pot. I'm like, I don't think it's worked. And then all of a sudden, it comes out of the ground. And that's faith saying, God, I'm going to put it in. And I'm waiting. I'm believing. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to nurture the soil. I'm going to be faithful. But God, I need you because I gave some of the seed that I probably needed. I stretched. Some of the words that I wish someone had gave me, I gave them away. I wish someone would encourage me and instead you go, you know what, I'm going to sow seeds of encouragement, believing I'm going to bear a harvest of encouragement. I'm going to sow seeds of generosity. I'm going to sow seeds of kindness. But you know what? Those people always, they're rude to me. Yeah, I'm going to sow seeds of kindness. And then as I sow a seed, a harvest of kindness will come back to me. Because that's what the Word of God says. That's what Jesus is telling us. He goes, put your seed in the kingdom. Put your seed in the good soil. He goes, this is the message of the kingdom. Put your seed in the good soil and watch it grow. That's every part of our lives. I'm not just talking about money today, but I am talking about it. Ask God for the stretch. Ask God for the... Because I hope all of us are going to participate. I would love for all of us to just participate in some way. It's not equal giving, it's equal sacrifice. So the question is, which bit counts for faith? Which bit are you saying, oh God, this bit needs, this is the seed I'm giving and I'm believing for a miracle?